Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Pete George Show version called This Was This Week, or The Week That Was. So, just a little bit of a plug here for me mate, Colin. As you know, Colin Lilley, like his music, and appreciate his time when he gives me time to have a chat to him. He's just on Friday released a new single which is playing called Honky Tonk Southern Skies, which you can get on all the platforms and YouTubes and all of that, but we'll play it loud and proudly at the end of the show. So this week we have quite a few little topics to talk about, and so we're going to talk about the AFL drug policy, if you're into the AFL, but it's a bit more than just AFL. It's something that I'll talk to in a fair bit. Then we've got the China lifts wine tariffs and the repercussions of that, because it's not as simple as people think it is. And then the South Australian voice and the joke that's become. So if you're first time watcher, listener, because this show only goes live and is a replay, we don't edit this one, but we do make it all nice and sound pretty for our podcast, which you can go and subscribe to all of that at petergeorge.com.au, but we're on all the platforms, Spotify and Apple Podcast, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music. So we're on all of those, and you just search the Pete George Experience and you'll get this show. So let's get into the first topic, and that is the AFL drugs policy, which is now come to light. During the week, last week, from Andrew Wilkie, who's a member of parliament, independent in federal government. And in Australia, that we have a thing called parliamentary privilege, where you pretty much can say what you like and not be prosecuted in any way, shape, or form. And during the week, Andrew Wilkie brought up about how the AFL is using their drug policy at the moment. And basically what happens is, if a player goes out and goes to a party and has drugs, what he now does is he goes to a private doctor. The doctor says, yep, you've got drugs in your system. I'm going to give you like a medical certificate to say that you can't play footy this week. And what that does is that stops them from being caught in competition. And there's a lot of ramifications for that. And if the AFL catches them three times, they're out. Now, if it's getting snipped off by a private doctor, not happy about that, because think about it in the real world. And I don't call sport, which is an entertainment, the real world. So with that in mind, think about your job and what would happen if you turned up to work and said, I've had drugs, I don't want to work today. I don't think it'll go down too well, to the point where if you're a minor, not as in a person under the age of 18, but a minor in the mines, you are drug tested and alcohol tested every shift. And if you turn up and any sign of alcohol or drugs in your system, and you will be sacked, because most of the guys are casual and it's a zero tolerance. Zero tolerance of drugs and alcohol in your system when you're working. And it should be no different for the footballers. You know, they carry on and say that they're role models and everything. Well, role models don't really promote the use of illicit drugs. And if I hear another person say they're recreational drugs, you're a goose, absolute goose. They're illegal and they should not be used, and they should be not classified a recreational drug, because a recreational drug means that they are, to me, legal. So the AFL need to really look at this and how they do it. WADA or WADA, depending which school you came from. They're the governing body that looks after pretty much all sports, and they do random testing. So if you get caught by them, it's normally 4 years. And sorry, there's something flying around. So it's it's just something that I just think that the AFL starting to lose their ways on a few things. But sticking with AFL, and because I know Les Twentyman from AFL days, and he's a friend of my mum's. My mum knew him pretty well. Passed away yesterday, age 76. And what Les did for the disadvantaged youth and the abused youth is something to behold. And I think pretty much everybody was happy when he was given the Order of Australia for his work with underprivileged kids and even the homeless. Didn't matter what age they were, Les was pretty good. So condolences to his family, and all I'd like to say is thank you, Les, for doing the work that you did and bring it out in the open like you have, and well done on a life that will leave a legacy. So, Vale, Les Twentyman. So, now, you know, I'm not the healthiest of specimens, and I've been patching myself. Hang on, I'll take this off. These little fellas. And they've helped me get me back on my feet. And they basically juice up your copper peptides and all that kind of stuff and stem cells and a whole heap of stuff. But what I wanted to talk about is that they've got me to a point where I can go and mow the lawns and everything once again without nearly dying every 5 minutes. So the good thing about that is I've come across an Australian company that make sunglasses. Now, these guys are down in Talabadgera, which is just a small suburb in the Gold Coast, and they are called GidgeyEyes.com. Now, I highly recommend you go and get them. A, they've got basically a safety glass in them, and they're really comfortable, really light, and I just thought I'd give them a shout out. I got these at Kent Saddlery out at Stanthorpe. If you go to the equestrian shops, they're designed for equestrian riders, but they're there for everyday use. Super light, super great, and yeah, happy to wear them. Pretty sure they may be made in China, but they're an Australian company, and let's support Australian companies as much as we can. So this is going to lead me into our second topic, which if you don't know, if you're around the world and you're watching this replay or listening to the podcast, in 2020 or 21, during the pandemic, our Prime Minister of the time, Scott Morrison, questioned where the Wu flu started from. And basically he said to China, come on, let us know what's happened. And instead of letting us know what happened, they put tariffs on a lot of our product, and the main two were wine and beef. Our wine sales to China were exceptionally good. They loved our wine, and then they slapped tariffs on to the point where it was pointless, the Australian growers sending wine to China. They didn't outright ban it, but the tariffs were that high that, you know, absolutely ridiculous. So what does this mean for Australian winemakers? And A, it means we got a lot of juice here in Australia, which is good in some ways but not good in others. But I get sick and tired of the press saying that the Australian winemakers have now got a $1 billion industry to sell into. Or they can get their $1 billion, because I think it was close to $1 billion that we were exporting. Well, the hard thing and the hard reality of a tariff like that being dropped on winemakers or a country of winemakers is that you may have had $1 billion in sales, but now that $1 billion is gone. It's been a couple of years, so the void would have been filled by other countries, probably Spain, America, who else is, maybe the French, maybe, but there would have been quite a few people benefit from the tariffs being put on Australian wine. So bear with me, I just need a drink. So consequently, the Australian wine market has become a little bit stagnant. Yes, it's good that the tariffs come off, so it means that they can at least try to market into the Chinese market once again. However, I don't think it's going to be that simple with the Chinese being the Chinese. So what I think will happen is that even though the tariffs are being lifted, and I don't know what the Australian government has given them in return, but I can't see them selling much wine into the Chinese market. I think they'll still dig their heels in. It's like the same thing that happened with our lobsters. The Chinese were just letting them fly over and then refusing them because they had some sort of disease or whatever, where a lot of our animals are the cleanest in the world. So, yeah, so that's the China tariff lift, and I just think it's a farce. Shouldn't have gone on in the first place, and now it's just got to be a joke for the Australian wine market. But the flip side to that is they went out and actually found new markets. So it's not all doom and gloom. So yeah, it's pretty good to see that they used a lot of initiative. And the final bit of all the what's happened during the week is the South Australian Voice. Oh, I spelt that wrong. We'll get that down quick, and we can change that real quick. You watch this. Gotta love StreamYard with their banners. Bang, there we go. So the South Australian Voice. So what is all of this about? Well, back in October last year, the Australian people voted for an Indigenous voice to Parliament, and it was going to be put into our constitution. And and then the people had the choice to vote it in or vote it out. And that's one of the things about the Australian political system and our constitution, that we have the final say on it. And if you'd like to learn more about Australian politics, you should do the right thing and subscribe on YouTube and give us a like and all that kind of stuff, because I'm doing a series on about how Australian politics works. There's a lot of people that I listen to overseas and they don't have a clue. They're like deer in the headlights when it comes to our politics. So I've got to be doing that. The first episode of that comes out on Monday, the 1st. So you'll be able to listen and watch that. So the South. So basically what happened, it was 60-40 pretty much all around the country except for the place that's 10 minutes outside of Australia, which is Canberra. They voted for it to go in. It was never going to get up. People in Australia don't like the Constitution being tampered with. And when you put race into the Constitution, it gets a little bit dodgy. And as you've listened to previous episodes, my great-great-grandmother was Aboriginal. So it's neither here nor there for me. So with that in mind, the 60-40 no to having it, South Australia put one in place, their own little voice, which basically means that if there's a new bill or anything, they have to run it past them. They don't have to listen to what they have to say. There's no obligation, but there is an obligation, basically. If they turn around and say no, you've got to take that into consideration. So they went and elected the people to be the voice of to the parliament for the Indigenous people of South Australia, which is a state, southern state here in Australia. They, what's the best way to put it? They did the vote, I think it was last weekend, and there's 25, nearly 26,000 registered Indigenous people in South Australia. So when there's a vote like this, it costs money. The Australian Electoral Commission gets involved because they manage all of our voting systems here, and I'll be explaining that in a couple of episodes of the government thing. So they went to all of this part and parcel. They nominated all these people. And just on 10% of the population voted. Now, some of the reports are that some of the people that are now the voices to Parliament had 6 votes, some had 1, some had none. So it's a farce. And what I encourage is that the Indigenous peoples of the world, if you're in a position to run for politics, run and be the voice of Indigenous people, like the 11 that we have in federal government now, Lydia Thorpe, Jacinta Napajima-Price, Linda Burney, and there's a whole, they're the main ones that I know of, but there's a whole heap of them. So once again, a Labor Party, and I'm sorry to go down this path, but a Labor Party has not listened to the people, gone against the people, wasted money, and they're going to have a voice. But from what I have heard, it's going to take a while for the Liberals, which is the opposition, to get into power in South Australia. But once they get in, they'll revoke it, I think. Because we can't have a country split on race, as far as I'm concerned. That may upset people. I know it'll set up a couple of people that I are friends with, but that's my thoughts and views. So Yeah, so that's roughly what's happened during the week. From a personal point of view, I have had a little bit of a scare with the heart, but they can't find anything wrong with it. I had my chest pounding like it was just about to jump out of me chest. But I'm all good now. Made the lawns, done all that kind of stuff. We're heading back to Bali, and that's going to be another series that I got to do before we head off on how to successfully get through a great trip in Bali. And so there's a few tricks that you need to do to make arriving there very easy, and B, getting around very easily. So we'll get into that as well. So that's the show, nuts and bolts of it all. I got to fire up Colin again. He should come up in a sec. Here we go with Honky Tonk Southern Sky. But as I said earlier, make sure you do those three things. Like, subscribe, and click the notifications. And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or X, is now it's called. And on Spotify, Apple, and all that kind of stuff. And until next week, have a good week. And as I always say, when you wake up, always be the best version of yourself. And let's finish the show and have a good listen to Colin Lilley, Honky Tonk, Southern Skies.